Well, good morning, everyone. As we know, today is our first ministry fair that we've had in quite a long time, and I was reminded as we were worshiping, you know, Rebecca, you know, sort of joked about how things didn't go quite right in that first song, and that's okay. You know, a lot of times we think when we're serving, we have to do things perfectly, or that we have some perfect way that we have to do things. You know what, though, is God is perfect. And he will use our imperfections to make things right with our souls and with the souls of others. And that's what's so nice and so awesome about having ministry fairs. You know, I remember the first time that my wife signed me up at a ministry fair. It was a ministry fair similar to this. And I was standing there and trying to figure out, like, what God, this was quite a few years ago, trying to figure out where God would have me serve. And I really didn't know as I was looking through that list. And my wife came up to me and goes, she says, I have signed you up for something. And I'm like, what? And she says, youth ministry. And I was like, what's a youth? You know, I thought youth really were little kids. And I was like, no, I don't know about ministering to little kids. She goes, no, they're teenagers. And I'm like, okay. And I tell you what, though. First of all, for any men here, don't let your wife sign you up. Try to find something on your own. Now, for me, it worked out well. I probably wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for my wife putting me down on that list. I know for a fact that I wouldn't be up here because God has ways of speaking through other people. And then that day, he spoke through my wife, and she saw that I had a gifting to be able to share with teenagers. And it was a blessing all the years that I did youth ministry. And I thank my wife and I thank God for that time that he put that on my wife's heart to put my name down on a list. So I would encourage everyone to find that place. Maybe even talk to your wife. Maybe she has something that knows something about you that you don't know about yourself. So anyway, today's our ministry fair. We'll have some food back there. And then just look through the list. We'll have ministry leaders back there talking about the various ministries. If you don't see something on that list, by the way, come talk to me. There's some things that we left off purposely. So not that we don't need help, but there's certain ministries that that I would like people to come talk to me about. So if God has something on your heart, come talk to me and we'll discuss it. Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of serving. What a surprise. Most Christians understand that the Great Commission given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is that we were to go out and share the good news with people in the world who are not in relationship with Christ, to make disciples. That's the mission that Christ has given us. I spoke about this a few weeks ago, that the church can oftentimes, though, neglect the importance of serving inside the church. I asked the church, though, a few weeks ago as well, that if we were ready for when God opens the gates to Living Hope Community, when God brings people here, or if, as you invite people, are we ready to serve them? Yes, serving outside the church community is very, very important. We have to do this to share the good news of the gospel to people outside these church walls, to fulfill the Great Commission given to us by Christ. But to be effective outside this community of the church, we have to be effective in helping each other within the church, in loving each other in the church, in teaching each other about God within the church. Now, as the Holy Spirit leads this church to reach out in the community, we have to be spiritually strong. We have to be healthy. And I'm not saying that we aren't healthy here, but we should always be evaluating that to say, are we healthy? Are we a community of God? And we always need to be working with each other, helping each other to be make sure that we're doing that. Now, most followers of Christ understand that we need to actually follow Jesus. We need to follow his example for living in this world. That's why all believers call themselves Christ followers. Oftentimes, we think of following Christ from some moral perspective, such as, I shouldn't do my old sinful habits that I did before I became a Christian. And last week, I spoke about that. I spoke about being crucified, our old selves being crucified, and being risen in our new selves, made new in Christ. I spoke in all those terms about our old sinful nature versus our new nature. And all that is important to understand as an individual believer, to have that faith that we have been crucified, our old self has been crucified. But Jesus didn't just come to take away our sin. He did come to make us new, and that's part of it. But Jesus came to serve. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark today in chapter 10. And Jesus and the disciples, though, on this chapter, they're on their way to Jerusalem. And throughout their journey up to this point, the disciples witnessed Jesus' compassion. They witnessed his mercy, his love, and the many miracles that he performed for others. But oftentimes, as we know when we're reading through these scriptures, the disciples still weren't fully understanding, fully getting it, but Jesus kept leading them along, teaching them something new every day. So in Mark chapter 10, Jesus again takes his disciples aside and told them that he would be put to death when he got to Jerusalem. Now, some of them were beginning to understand because Jesus mentioned this quite a few times to them already. So now they're like, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he's going to be put to death when he gets to Jerusalem. Up to this point, the disciples are starting to understand that Jesus is their Messiah and he is their king, which he was. The disciples, though, had a different understanding of what Jesus meant by being the Messiah and the king. The disciples were still thinking from a worldly perspective, where a king had servants, and the servants all served the king. And they figured if they were in the king's graces as his servants, others would serve them as well. We sort of get this glimpse of the disciples' thinking from a worldly perspective based on how they interacted with each other and even how they interacted with Jesus. One such interaction is recorded in this chapter 10 of Mark. Two of the disciples, James and John, who were brothers, by the way, were beginning to understand that Jesus' kingdom at that point was not really currently on this earth, that he would be going to his throne in heaven after his death. And these two brothers then approached Jesus and asked him a question. And I want to read this entire conversation that Jesus had with these two brothers, because it really does blow my mind when I read this. And I think, how could they ask him such a thing? I mean, it's pretty amazing what they asked. So we're going to be starting in verse 35 here. And it says, and it should be up on the screen. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. Oh, you don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared. Now, when the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Now Jesus, we know, came to build his kingdom here on earth through his church. And through his church, by serving others. And as we serve others, the kingdom grows with the power of the Holy Spirit that is in every believer. Now, I want to sort of contrast this a little bit from a worldly perspective of serving compared to a kingdom perspective, a God's kingdom perspective of serving. In the early 1900s, there was a London newspaper carried an advertisement from a famous Arctic explorer by the name of Sir Ernest Shackleton. Mr. Shackleton was looking for a few good men to go on a dangerous expedition to the Arctic Circle. And the advertisement read like this. I think it's going to be up on the screen. This is the actual advertisement. Men wanted for hazardous darkness and constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Now, I read about this, and believe it or not, this ad brought thousands of men to apply for the job. And believe it or not, the job didn't pay any money. And yet, Shackleton got all these men to come to serve him, to go to the Arctic Circle. Why? The honor and recognition the men wanted. So around the same time period, a Christian pastor by the name of Warren W. Wiersbe, hope I pronounced his name right, read about this ad and the amount of people that came to apply for this Arctic mission. In Pastor Wiersbe's book, Be Faithful, he wrote that if Jesus Christ advertised for workers, the ad would read something like this. Men and women wanted for difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come till after all your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, even your life. Now, who wants to go sign up for the ministry fair? Come on, people, doesn't that sound fun? And the ministry leaders in this church are probably looking at me and saying, Mike, you are not helping. Where are you going with this sermon? But let's take a step back and listen to what Jesus said to his disciples at the end of these verses. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." Now, these two brothers, James and John, thought they were serving Christ faithfully by following Jesus all the way up to the gates of Jerusalem, and that they deserved the honor and the recognition for that. As a matter of fact, John went all the way to the cross with Jesus. And the other apostles, the other 10, overheard these two brothers asking Jesus to be seated at his left and right-hand side of his throne, and they grew annoyed. That's the word for indignant. Annoyed, angry with these other 10. Maybe even jealous that James and John were asking such a thing of Jesus. And I just have this picture in my mind of these two brothers waiting for the other 10 to move away and say, "Hey, Jesus, we're gonna sit at your right and left-hand side, right?" And they heard him. Serving God, though, is not about receiving recognition or honor from others, especially from others. That honor belongs only to God. And it's not even about receiving recognition and honor from God. Now, one day, a faithful servant, we do know from the scriptures that a faithful servant will receive that honor from God. But we don't do it because of that. But we know in God's love and in his grace that he is going to bring us honor one day. The Bible is clear on that. In John chapter 12, verse 26, it says this, "Whoever serves me must follow me." This is Jesus' words. "And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And if you know about the parables of the talents, in Luke chapter 19, verse 17, Jesus was comparing a master with his workers, and he gave all of them talents, different amount of money to be able to go out and serve. And he said this about the master and talking to his faithful servant. "The master will say, 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied, 'because you have been trustworthy in the very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. So we know that God will bring honor to us one day for serving him, but we do not serve him because of that honor. And that's what we're going to keep talking about today. This recognition won't necessarily come within this lifetime from God. Our job is, as the church, is to serve as Jesus served. That's the job. Let me also state that even though we may not get that recognition right away from God, there are ways that God shows us the fruits of our labor. Sometimes we will see those results right away, and we can be joyful and praise God when we see those results right away. But oftentimes, it takes time. It takes a long time to see the fruit of that labor that is coming through, which is why we need to be in prayer as we are serving. And as we are praying while we're serving, whether that's sharing the gospel with somebody or just helping somebody, we pray that Jesus can be seen through us and through our words. And as we pray on that, it could be years later, but when those fruits are finally sprout up, we can praise Jesus for that and then understand that he got the honor, not us. Immediately after Jesus spoke about being a servant was all about, the disciples continued on their journey to Jerusalem. And on their way to Jerusalem, they were passing through the town called Jericho. And as they were leaving the town of Jericho, a blind man was sitting on the roadside begging. And this blind beggar then called out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And it says in this same chapter of Mark that many of the disciples following Jesus to Jerusalem began to rebuke this man and told him to be quiet, leave us alone. We don't have time. But Jesus stopped and told his disciples to bring this man to him. I find it interesting that Jesus always does this. There's always these divine appointments. After he's teaching his disciples, Jesus knew this man was going to be there. I just know he did. And as they're leaving the town of Jericho, this man's sitting there and interrupting as they're on their way to Jerusalem. Anyway, in verse 51 of Mark chapter 10, Jesus asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Jesus then said, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately this man received his sight. You know, the disciples still weren't getting this whole service thing yet. Because as we read throughout the chapter 10 of Mark, they were actually rebuking a man for disturbing them along their journey. I'm sure the disciples were getting tired from their long walk and journey to Jerusalem, and they just wanted to get to Jerusalem. But this man was not disturbing Jesus. Jesus didn't mind the interruption in their journey. Jesus heard this man's cry, and he healed this man's blindness. Now, it doesn't tell us the rest of the story of this man's story in the following verses, but can you imagine how this man felt at that moment? He was probably, I just have this imagination that he was probably jumping for joy. I know he probably was. I mean, let's face it, he can see now. Who wouldn't be jumping for joy? He was probably jumping for joy, but can you imagine how Jesus felt at that moment? Jesus always talked about how he wanted us his disciples to share the same joy he had. Can you imagine the joy on Jesus' face when he healed this man? I'm sure as this man was walking away or jumping for joy, that tears of joy were pouring down the face of Jesus. Now, as far as Jesus' disciples were concerned, who were there that day and witnessed this, I don't think they walked away feeling condemned for how they treated this man. But I do think they walked away feeling challenged because they were already following Jesus and they saw what he just did. So I do think they walked away feeling challenged. Serving others for God will interrupt your schedule. It just will. As Christ followers, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Every Christ follower has the Holy Spirit in us to help each other. And when we serve another person, we are bringing honor to them. This is what Jesus did. The King of the universe stopped in his tracks for a blind beggar at the side of a road. We live in a day where everyone is on the go, more so than at any time in history. Most of us have very busy schedules. We have kids in sports that we have to bring to practice, games, family activities, and the list just goes on and on and on. And then we have church on Sundays where we take a moment out of our busy weeks to worship our Lord who has done everything for us. God understands how busy we are. He understands that we live in a very busy world where we have to work very hard, as a matter of fact, to survive, to put food on our tables, to put a roof over our head. He knows the world we live in. God understands that we live in a world where we have to keep our children busy with positive activities like sports so they are not pulled into the negative activities that are all around them daily. God understands that. God understands that we need to take time away with our families so a family unit can grow stronger and closer to one another. These are all very good things. And Jesus is not asking our church, or any church, or his church, I should say, to stop these activities altogether. Jesus is just asking his followers to build his family, his church, so others can come find refuge and rest in him. Christ followers should be following Jesus. That's what Christ followers do. Jesus stopped, and he took time for others, always. Jesus had a very important appointment to get to when he went to Jerusalem. A very divine appointment. He was going to save the world, and he knew it. And yet he took time for a blind beggar at the side of the road. Jesus didn't mind the interruption. The church is supposed to be a place where people find places to find rest. Now, we live in a society that I said is very busy. It's also a society that's very self-serving. People in this society are always looking or searching for something or someone to be different. Now, I'm sure you've all heard the stories, the pay it forward stories, where a person is, it's happened to me before, sitting in a Starbucks line and you get, or drive through, and you get up to the window and someone in front of you already paid for your coffee. And when we get there, we're just excited. We're like, wow, how nice, how kind was that person. Our society loves those stories. And we love paying it forward to the next person. And I'm convinced that we love those stories because our society is starving for this kind of service to one another. The church is supposed to be that place. The church should be paying it forward more than anybody in this world. And the beauty of it is it's not just paying it forward from a coffee in a Starbucks line, but when we pay it forward and we, the church, have the Holy Spirit in us, God starts working. And it's more so than anybody in this world can do. What a great thing that is. It doesn't have to be, serving doesn't have to be some place of recognition either, or some type of honor that you get. Do you know there is a person here in our church who sharpens our pencils located behind the seats each week? I'm going to embarrass him, but Mr. Bill Church does that. The communion that gets prepared. I don't have to ask him. He knows when I'm going to have communion, and he just does it. He has it prepared. Yes, he's doing it for me because he knows I can get busy during the week. But more importantly, what he's doing it for is the church. He wants the pencil sharpened so when people are who's ever up here speaking can take notes. Because Bill understands God's word is important and he wants people to know it. He prepares the communion because he wants people to be in communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have that time of reflection. So he doesn't do it because I've asked him to do it. He just does it because he knows it's the right thing to do to serve. Serving in the church starts with each one of us, you. It starts there. And as the Holy Spirit quickens our spirit to move, we will serve other people without expecting anything in return. But again, the awesome part of this is it does come back tenfold when we are Christ followers. More so than pay it forward at a coffee stand. Because the Holy Spirit then starts getting involved and starts working through each of our lives. And as we move, you guys want to put the second slide up there? I like slides, by the way. I don't do them often, but I used to be a network engineer, so we used to always like diagrams. But as the Holy Spirit begins to move, and it starts with you, then the church starts serving each other, and it comes in a big circle. It doesn't matter if the church is 2 people or 5,000 people. It works the same way. We serve each other. That's the church. And then on the next slide, when the church is serving each other, people begin to notice. And as we go out into the world or new people from the world come into here, they start seeing something different than that's out there. They start feeling God's Spirit moving. They know God's Spirit's moving through each one of us, that we're loving each other, we're teaching each other about God, we're serving each other. That's the church. That's how the church grows. That's how God's kingdom grows. That's why Jesus was teaching us, take time for the beggar at the side of the road or the person that walks in the doors of this church. Take time for them because they are important to Jesus. And if they're important to Jesus, they should be important to us. And if you're important to Jesus, you should be important to me. And we should be important to each other. That's how it works. When the church is strong on the inside, we will be strong on the outside. To show people in Spokane Valley and in the world that, yes, there is something more. There is peace, there is joy, there is forgiveness, there is grace, and there is a God who loves them. That's the church. That's our mission. So I want to leave you with this benediction today from the Apostle Paul, taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Paul said this, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we praise you. I just love how you, Jesus, just teach us continually, how you taught your disciples and you teach us through your word what it means to love, what it means to have mercy, what it means to serve others, and how you bring that all around back through your church, and how you have mercy on your church, even in our imperfections, that you take time for us. You take time for us to forgive us. Lord, we praise you for your mercy and for your grace. And I ask, Lord, and I ask, Father, that you would just show your church here at Living Hope how we are to serve one another. Help us find places, Lord, where you have given us giftings so we can bring these giftings to other people to bring them honor. Because we know, Lord, one day when we are in heaven, standing before your throne, we all want to hear, "Well done, my faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.